listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you Family Sanctuary, a show that inspires living the gospel message in word and deed within our families. And now, Family Sanctuary, with hosts Mary Ann Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn.
Welcome to the Family Sanctuary, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. I'm Mary Ann Jepson, your host, and my guest today is Sister John Paul of the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. Sister John Paul and I have joined forces to do a series on virtuous living because we both believe that this is the true path to the joy that we all seek in life. Virtuous living, that is the path to the joy that we all seek. I think we all know of the Ten Commandments and pretty much of what they say. But if you need a refresher course on those, you can find them in your Bible in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 to 17, and also then again in Deuteronomy 5, that's chapter 5, through verses 4 through 21. The life of virtue is really centered around those Ten Commandments. It comes from them, and it reaches out in broad ways beyond that, which we'll talk more about today. What we may lose in the translation of those commandments is how do we put them into practical use in our lives? Sister John Paul and I believe that the answer to that question, again, is by living the virtuous life. So how do we do that? Well, stay with Sister John Paul and me over the course of this series that we have going on, and we hope to help you to answer that question and find ways to really live and learn the virtuous life. How do we do it? How do we live it? So our topic of discussion today is directly related to this. It's we're going to be talking about Lectio Divina, which is Latin for divine reading. And I'd like to welcome Sister John Paul with me right now. Good
Thank
to you. Have you.
Thank you very much, Marianne. Good to be here.
Well, so Sister, I was thinking if we kind of turn this over to you and you could talk a bit about where did Lectio Divina come from? I know it's a traditional Benedictine practice, really, that started with St.
Right.
Benedict way
That's
back,
right.
Somewhere, I believe, in the 3rd century, and then it kind of morphed, or no, I'm sorry, 6th century, I believe, morphed along the way. So,
right.
So give us some info on that, if you would.
Well, I mean, it's a great question, and I think, you know, we can maybe perhaps best trace the pondering of the word back to Our Lady.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
Even if it wasn't just in a formal sense of Lectio Divina, and here's how someone would actually read the gospel having already been printed or illustrated at the point. You know, Our Lady is the example of someone who allows God's word to permeate her and mm-hmm. to become flesh in her, and she responds to the word. You know, the word
right.
was made flesh
so
and
beautiful.
Dwelt among us.
Mm-hmm.
So really, when Scripture speaks about Our Lady pondering the word in her heart,
mm-hmm.
she was really the first and our greatest example of someone who does divine reading, the Lectio
yes.
Divina. So it is from Our Lady, we see that the starting point of this, of one who engages the word and reflects on the life of Christ, and then seeks to put a response to that word before her into action.
Mm-hmm.
In the history of the church, then you do have the Benedictines, and then through the monastic life, certainly incorporated into the domestic, the Dominican mm-hmm. monastic life, a concept of reading Scripture, receiving the word into our hearts, and then acting on it, giving the fruits of our contemplation to others.
Mm-hmm.
And it has taken on slightly different forms over the course of the centuries. We come to our modern era, and it is experiencing a renewal.
Mm-hmm.
Our Holy Father, Pope Benedict, some years ago, wrote about Lectio Divina and even said that he believes that if Lectio Divina is practiced and promoted in the way it's intended, we will see a renewal in the church. It will contribute to renewal of the church, this reading of Scripture and acting upon it with the Holy Spirit guiding us. How do we respond to this word in our hearts? So in a sense, we're taking the foundation of our faith, which is imitating Our Lady and her receptivity to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And we're allowing that same sort of seed of the faith to come blossoming in our own life by studying the word and acting on it.
So the key word that I hear you say there is receptivity, which, yes, of course, is what our Blessed Mother had.
Yes.
And I think through the years of monasticism, when Lectio Divina was really kind of being practiced and formulating to what we really have nowadays, basically.
Yes, yes.
I mean, everyone kind of does it in their own way in a certain sense, but there are steps. But receptivity.
Which
in a world where we like to control things.
That's right.
We're talking, let go of the control and just be open.
That's right. And, you know, we talk about control, and I like to refer to it as sort of white knuckling. You know, we cling on to something so much. We have to learn how we sort of unpeel our fingers off the steering wheel. You know, if we might be driving right now as we listen to this, sort of let our hands sort of become free, and then perhaps maybe even open them up to be able to sort of, in a receptive way, receive what the Lord has.
Yeah, so I think one of the things that I've kind of understood about Lectio Divina is it's not necessarily a theological analysis.
Right.
Right?
Right. You do not have to be a theologian. It's for every person.
Right. So sometimes we tend to think, well, I don't know the context of all of this.
Sure.
These passages are.
Right. I don't have my commentaries.
Do I need to have all of that around me when I do this? We're not analyzing it. We're quite the opposite.
Yes. We're receiving it.
And when I think of analyzing, I think of overthinking.
Right. Right.
And or thinking deeply anyway.
That's right. You know, and one of the aspects of Lectio Divina, I mean, there are steps, and we can talk through
those.
Yeah,
that's great. We need to do that. Yeah.
And the first component, actually, of being able to be receptive to God's word is that we're disposed. We want to receive him.
So how do we get ourselves disposed?
Well, you know, first we need to create around us an atmosphere of silence. And if we can't control the surroundings, we can develop an interior silence.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the saints and those who have been, if you want to say, most successful, you know, at receiving God's word, or rather we could say not successful, but who have been recipients of God's gifts, you know, that they can put into response, into action, God's word, they have developed an interiority, an inner life. Where they grow in their self-knowledge, they can be at least quiet interiorly so that they can begin to hear God. And I think that's what our world really needs to develop, is the sense of a culture of interiority, where there's at least enough silence inside to know ourselves and then to be able to stay in relationship to others. And then we can sort of go further in understanding God.
So in a sense, before we even really get started on the steps, we are talking preparing ourselves
interiorly.
So we have to some way be able to clear our minds out. There's always so many things going on in our minds. Like,
yes,
I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do the next thing today,
right,
and I have to do that before 2 p.m., and that's only 20 minutes away, and then I have to. So we want to,
right,
somewhere set aside perhaps a regular time in our lives. Is that a good thing to do?
Of course. I mean, if we were to talk about prayer and habits of prayer, you know, always, you know, looking at your day and when is it the right time for me and my schedule and my family to have some downtime.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to create that moment of silence. Of course, always before the Blessed Sacrament is the best option.
Sure.
It's not always realistic for most folks these days.
Mm-hmm.
But having an atmosphere, at least of interior silence, where you feel like, okay, I'm actually ready to read the scripture. I'm actually ready, you know, to listen to what God might have.
Mm-hmm.
And then we sort of dive in, if you will.
sort of dive in. So, well, before we talk about the steps, I just want to let you know who you're listening to. This is the Family Sanctuary. I'm Mary Ann Jepson, the host, and my guest today. She will be my guest for several weeks here. We are doing a series on living virtuously, and today we're talking about Lexio Divina. Sister John Paul, a Dominican sister of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, is my guest, and she is with me to speak all about Lexio Divina today. So, sister, are we ready to go under the steps, or do anything more in preparation? I'm trying to think.
Seek to be in a state of grace. Remembering regular confession.
Exactly.
Monthly confession.
Yes.
Being disposed, to live and act towards the good. All of these things, the sacramental life, people of goodwill. Just plain people of goodwill. You don't even have to be Catholic, to sit down and read the scripture. We forget that, or Christian, the Lord is always ready to speak to us through the scripture, no matter where we're at. Maybe somebody is listening today and they don't align themselves with any faith, but they might be interested in opening up scripture and just realizing that God wants to have a conversation with them. And that's really what this is. It's actually, believe it or not, we sit down, we think we're going to do something, and it's really not. It becomes a conversation with a God who really does exist and wants to speak to us regularly, all the time, be with us, Emmanuel, continually.
Yes, a merciful God and a loving God. And I think those two words are so key to understanding our own weaknesses, our own sins. Yes. And if we come before the Lord with a true sense of sorrow for our sins and a desire to change our lives, knowing that no one is perfect when they enter into Lexio Divina.
Right.
No one is perfect. He's there for us. He's there to lead us and guide us along
the
way.
That's right. That's right.
That's what this is about.
That's right. So. And it's just about opening yourself. So I think there are two different ways one could look at Lexio Divina.
Okay.
So the same steps, if you will, but maybe two different ways to put it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to take a scripture passage and to read it to yourself, the first step would be, what does it say in itself?
Right.
What's there in this passage? And then you might take that passage and say, well, then what is it saying to me? What line sort of sticks out to me? Many of us have this experience, not even just with scripture. You might be reading something and you just feel struck by it. That was meant for me somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And then it might be taking that one phrase or word that just struck you in a new way. And when you do feel that response to something, that is the Holy Spirit being present to you. And so it's something to sort of go with, to follow.
Sure.
And that line stood out to you for a reason. There's something maybe that he wants to build on and you're meant to hear. So your third step, after reading it, what does it say in itself? What might it be saying to me? Then the third step is actually taking that phrase or word and saying, well, gosh, let me ponder that. Let me spend some time with that. What might that phrase or that word be saying to me more deeply?
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes we're surprised. We might have thought it was going to be something. And then as we sort of just sit there, think of a mother with a child on her lap. And maybe the image might be of Our Lady holding Jesus, or think of if you're not driving right now, maybe you're sitting down in a chair and you have the book on your lap. There's a sort of a closeness there, and you're sort of sitting and pondering. You're just being for a moment. And so you're thinking, not a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
This is not an actual moment.
Right. Right.
It's a letting be moment.
It's a being in the presence of the Lord.
A being in the presence of the Lord moment. It's a pondering moment. You're free from being responsible for anything for this moment, but you're just being with that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're open to what might this be saying to me? And then what you would do is, after sort of pondering that and thinking that through, what do we say back to the Lord in response to what he might have said to us.
Mm-hmm.
So this would all be step three. something stood out to me in step two. I'm sitting with the word in step three. What do we say back to the Lord in response to what he's saying? And then the next one would be saying, well, what might I be called to do with this?
Mm-hmm.
What conversion of my mind or my heart? You know, if he's saying this to me, what does it mean for my life? So another way of saying that is what's being said to me here, mm-hmm. is the fourth step.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I say back in response to the word, the fourth step? What is being said to me here? What conversion of my life, my heart is being asked for in response to this word that's coming alive to me in a new way? I didn't
mm-hmm.
expect this.
Mm-hmm.
And then truly, as all of us want to do, we want to not just receive good things in our life, receive, you know, God's word, receive the Lord, but we want to, they, you know, talk about like paying it forward. You know, we want to
sure.
give back to others. And so ultimately the word completes its fruitfulness in us when actually we give that gift of the word, what we've received in prayer, to others.
I think that's a good way of phrasing it too, is it's a gift that we've received
and
now we're sharing that gift with others.
It
As
is.
Opposed to, you know, the oftentimes we think, okay, I've got this. Now what am I supposed to do with it?
That's right.
So it's, I like the way you phrase it, giving the gift out,
paying it forward. I think, you know, I mean, with patron being our Holy Father, John Paul II, you know, everything, his whole paradigm was this idea of being a gift,
mm-hmm.
receiving a gift.
Mm-hmm.
So you could take all of Lectio Divina and just phrase it in the terms of a gift. The gift of the word coming to me, the gift of what I'm hearing back from the Lord, and then what am I meant to give to others? And I think we all know in today's world, we do want to be other-orientated people.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be folks that are giving to others the works of mercy. It's not about ourselves.
Right.
It's about how are we there for others. And reading scripture and learning from the life of Christ really allows us to apply the gospel message to ourselves, our circumstances, our family, our difficulties, and become a gift to others in response to God's word. And that's what Our Lady did, and that's what we're all meant to be.
So you said there are two ways we could approach it. Was that just the one way? And then there's another way that you...
Yeah. It's the mm-hmm. same type of steps work through,
mm-hmm.
But I would say different language. So
okay.
The first one is a way of conversation.
Sure.
What did it say to me?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the second way I could put it in would be a way of a gift.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what is the gift itself
mm-hmm.
there in
yes.
the text? That the gospel is given to me at all as a gift?
Mm-hmm.
What part or phrase might be a gift to me personally,
mm-hmm.
you know, and what is the Lord giving to me in this moment as I respond to the Lord? How is he asking me to give myself back to him in some sort of conversion of my mind, heart, body? And then how is my life a gift of self for others?
Beautiful. You're listening to The Family Sanctuary. I'm Mary Ann Jepson, and I'm speaking with Sister John Paul, a Dominican Sister of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, and we're talking about Lectio Divina. If you just turned your radio on, you might wonder what all of this deep conversation is about. And so, Sister, I think you've phrased that up so beautifully about what we've been given and the gift that we give back. I mean, we've been given a gift and we give the gift back.
Yes, yes.
Traditionally, if I think a lot of people opened up books on Lectio Divina, they might hear those traditional four steps.
Right.
I think that are a little bit different. So we might just speak to those a little bit. It's all the same thing
sure.
that you're saying. But
sure.
the thing that you've heard in the past is probably Lectio,
mm-hmm.
which is actually the reading of the
mm-hmm.
gospel. The meditatio, which is the meditation
mm-hmm,
part.
Reflecting.
The oratio, which is the prayer. So that's
mm-hmm.
saying back to God, what do you want me to do to
that's
help
right.
me? Help me
that's right.
to know what to do with this. I have sin in my life. Maybe this is about sinning. Maybe this is just about changing things or whatever. Help me to know what that is, Lord. And then we have the contemplating on what comes back to us.
Right. Right.
What is he really saying to us then further? And how do we do that? How do we then make that the gift to others?
That's right. And you mm-hmm. mentioned contemplatio, you know, and the Dominican motto is to contemplate and give to others the fruits of our contemplation. When we speak about the Holy Spirit in all of this, because,
yes.
you know, really wherever the word is,
yes.
there is the Holy
Spirit, the
Spirit, you know, and it's so true when we look at our liturgy and the liturgical life that all of us are meant to live, you know, we have at Mass, scripture, and the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the liturgy of the word and liturgy of the Eucharist, both ways the words becomes flesh in us.
Sure.
And so as we contemplate and give to others the fruits of our contemplation, we need to remember that the Holy Spirit is the one who's doing the giving and allowing us to be this gift of self to others.
Beautiful. How about, we've got, I don't know, about 6 minutes or so left. Let's take a little bit of time if we can. I pulled out a scripture that I thought might be a good one that we could just help people have an example what to do with this. So we won't be able to go into it too deeply, but maybe just hit on some high points of this. So the scripture that I pulled out was Mark second chapter number 2, and the verses are 23 to 28. If you are interested, you might be home and you have a Bible, you could follow along with us. And I'll read that. Verse 23 starts, "As he was passing through a field of grain on the Sabbath, his disciples began to make a path while picking the heads of grain. At this, the Pharisees said to him, 'Look, what are they doing? What is unlawful on the Sabbath?' He said to them, 'Have you never read what David did when he was in need and he and his companions were hungry? How he went to the houses of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of offering that only the priest could lawfully eat and shared it with his companions. Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. That is why the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath."
Yes.
So what do we do with that one, sister?
Well, when you read it, actually, I was thinking, oh, well, yes, I know this passage, and this particular thing is going to stand out to me. But when you read it to me afresh, I actually experienced what we were talking about. Something
you
else
did, really?
Struck to me.
Did
and
you really?
I did. And so, you know, I think we might all say, you know, oh, well, this is about, you know, living the Sabbath day and how can I make it a day of rest? And
mm-hmm.
how it actually, the choice of this scripture ties back to what you were saying in the beginning about living the commandments,
uh-huh.
right? And
okay.
being virtuous,
yes,
right?
Yes,
the
yes,
Sabbath
yes.
day.
Uh-huh.
And so see how the Lord's working there.
Sure.
But then what struck me early on in your passage reading was how David was in need and he went to the house of the Lord.
Oh.
I wasn't expecting
no,
that.
No, isn't that funny?
And
isn't that amazing?
What does that mean for us? You know, so I would take that. I said, wow, Lord, I wasn't expecting that. And what does that mean for me?
Mm.
Where are you showing me that I'm in need? Is that an invitation to come to you? What does the house of the Lord mean for me? Of course, he went to had the bread. Is that the Eucharist? I mean, there's so many things that you could sit there. And then so you would step through that and say, okay, Lord, which am I pondering, you know, in my meditatio, if we were go mm-hmm. the traditional steps, we've had lexio, meditatio, what are you saying to me here?
Mm-hmm.
And then I would take that and maybe as I work through the end, the conversion is remembering where to go in your time of need. I'm present in the Blessed Sacrament in the house of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe my gift of self is to be an invitation to others to bring them to the house of the Lord. If I have a friend or neighbor in need today,
mm-hmm.
how have I introduced them to God's presence, the living bread,
yes.
right, found
yes.
in the house of the Lord?
Yes.
Or the bread in a sense of presence that I carry in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Right, the bread of presence that
the presence
call,
of Christ in
right,
your life.
He refers
yes.
to it as the bread. He ate the show bread, the presence, the bread of presence.
How do you become you know? Christ for others?
How
in
do
your
I
life?
Become Christ for others?
Mm-hmm.
Imitating, bringing the Davids I might meet today who are in need to the house of the Lord.
Yeah.
So it's just amazing what the Lord does.
Yeah, that's so beautiful because initially too for me. I always thought, well, I mean, it first time I read it, it struck out the Sabbath was made for man,
sure.
not man for the Sabbath. But when I just read it, too, what jumped out for me is that is why the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And that the way that spoke to me was, you know, you think, okay, we should keep rest on the Sabbath and all. And that's what this is really.
Yes.
We should focus on the Lord.
Right.
On the Sabbath. And so that speaks to me that, yes, even in my peace on the Sabbath, as opposed to the trials, the difficult times in life. I go to the Lord, you know, in my difficult times of life, and I know that He's Lord of those difficult times, but He's Lord even when life is going well.
Lord of the rest.
He's Lord of the rest. He's Lord of all of the good things, and He's with us. So this has been such a joy to be with you and to work through all of this today, sister, and I know that there's so much more that we could say, truly. Do you have any final words? We got just about a minute left.
Well, I mean, I would just encourage everyone to find a way to imitate Our Lady in their life, in being receptive to the Word and realizing that each of our vocation is in some way of allowing the Word to become flesh in us and bring God's Word to others. So really, you know, we know the old adage, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ.
Yes.
And none of us want to be ignorant of someone who loves us. You know, He's waiting to love us, and God will be faithful to His Word and continue to speak to us through His Word. So we wouldn't want to miss out on that.
Not at all. Not at all. He's with us in all things, too. He's with us in the stranger.
Yes,
so anyone that comes into our path each day, He's there, and He's ready to love us through them, and ready for us to love them and thereby love Him.
And I guess I would add to that, there are a lot of resources out there that support Lectio Divina. And the sisters have, through our education and virtue curriculum and faith formation, have a Life of Christ journal that is called, is a Lectio Divina journal, where we can share scripture with others if you're interested. I think it is on Amazon, and that would be an opportunity to, on your own, have a journal that's sort of ready-made that could walk you through Lectio Divina.
It is really a beautiful journal, too, I have to tell you. Once again, it's called the Life of Christ Journal, and you can get it on Amazon. It is published by the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, and it's something that is very simple and a really, really wonderful tool that I don't think you'll want to miss. Thanks for bringing that up.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
And also thank you to all of our listeners for joining us today on the Family Sanctuary. Please do come back next time. Sister John Paul and I will continue to explore more topics on virtuous living. And this is a series that we are putting together because we really want you and your families to be able to find that peace and that joy that you are seeking in life. And we know that at times we all go off the tracks, but this is hopefully a way to help us all get back on. So until next time, be blessed.
God bless you.
God bless.
Family Sanctuary is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Family Sanctuary with Marianne Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni Sancti.